1 Corinthians 14, verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they are that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. And then for time's sake, I'd like us to skip down to verse number 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. I want to use this text just to introduce the message here this morning. It says in verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place. This certainly could not refer to the universal church, because that would be an impossibility. This is a reference to the local church. A local church is a whole church. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, one building, one house, wherever it might be, the Bible says there ought to be some order to what is being done. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together? Every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. There were some revelation signs that were still being used by our Lord in his local churches at this time before the completed revelation of the scriptures was done, such as tongues and interpretations and so on and so forth, but they were supposed to be done in a very orderly way. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, verse 27, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. And then it said, let all things be done, in verse 40, decently and in order. And I want to speak this morning on this subject, why I believe in organized religion. Why I believe in organized religion. Our organized religion certainly is taking some hits today. We sometimes cross paths, you and I, at least I do, and some of you probably, with some who maybe in a derogatory way, if you try to invite them to church, will answer that and say, well, I don't believe in organized religion. There's a lot of disenchantment today in organized religion, and basically that's a synonym for the church. By disenchanted people, and rightly so for some of them, when Eli was the high priest in Israel's day and his wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were helping in the priesthood, it says they were so wicked, so perverted, that they made the offerings of the Lord distinct. People abhorred the offerings of the Lord in the days of Eli, the priest, because of some of the leadership. And without a doubt, some of the leadership in churches today, some of the clergymen are to blame, some of them, for some of the disenchantment that our nation has in organized religion. George Barna, a pollster who especially focuses in the spiritual realm, has come to the conclusion that America today is a country that is spiritual but not religious. Spiritual but not religious. And what that means, translated, is people say they're spiritual, they believe in God, they pray to God, maybe even read the Bible, but they don't go to church. They're not a part of any type of an organized religion. And he finds that our country is heading more and more and more in that direction, where people are claiming, I'm spiritual, I have a relationship with God, but I am not religious, I am not involved in any type of organized religion. And some famous radio speakers who have quite an influence in our country, men like Harold Camping, are teaching doctrines that the church age is past, that we are actually today in the tribulation period and the church age is past, and he actually is telling people you don't have to go to church anymore. There's an anti-church spirit as well as an anti-Christian spirit that's beginning to prevail in our land. One of our members was standing over at the parade in Orchard Park on the 4th of July, and some group came down for whatever reason, I don't know. They were in the parade, and they handed one of our church members a leaflet by Harold Camping explaining that the church age is over and you don't need to go to church anymore, that the spiritual rapture has taken place and we're now in the tribulation. And I believe he is wrong in his doctrine. Up here in Niagara Falls, 4,000 teenagers met together for a big concert. And they had about three consecutive hours of rock concerts from Christian rock bands. And then the speaker, Franklin Graham, got up to speak. And his first five words after the music was over were these: "We're not doing church here." And 4,000 people stood up and gave him a prolonged standing ovation. How contrary to the scriptures that say Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. A man like that with profound influence needs to be careful about his words and the influence that he's having on thousands and thousands of people. Because when those rock concerts are all gone, the church is still here trying to minister to people in the community and trying to heal broken hearts and visit the sick and visit the widows and visit the fatherless and minister to marriages and families and single people and so on and so forth. And we need to be careful about the doctrines that we're spreading, how contrary that is to what his father used to preach. Billy Graham, who almost always finished every one of his crusades with the words, "Be sure you're in the church of your choice this Sunday." And, you know, even though I don't agree with all of the things that his ministry did, he used to at least try to promote the local church as a discipleship tool in God's hands for new converts to get into and to grow in their faith. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And it's one of the evidence that a person is saved is they love the brethren. And so there seems to not only be an anti-Christian spirit prevailing in our country, but also an anti-church in the form of the doctrine of people saying, I don't believe in organized religion. I know of homeschool movements that do not participate in churches. One just down the road here about 20 miles, and they don't go to church. They meet together as homeschool families, have some fellowship, and I guess that's all right. I talked to the leader one time about it very nicely, casually, and just said, I said to him, I said, now, you know, our Lord has given us a great commission, and that is to reach the world with the gospel, and then after someone's saved, try to get them to be baptized and try to disciple them. I said, I'm not too familiar with your movement, but I said, what do you do with our Lord's commission? And his answer to me was, well, we certainly have problems with that. We certainly have problems with that. I said, what do you do to try to reach the children of your area with the gospel? He says, well, we're really not doing anything right now. What about the widows and the fatherless and the brokenhearted? He said, well, we're just kind of meeting together with our families right now. They have become isolated. They've gone beyond separation to isolation because they don't want to be contaminated by perhaps who they might rub elbows with in the local church. And I don't believe in their doctrine, and I think it's very noble that they're trying to raise their children. I know a missionary we used to support who came off the mission field, and he just became disenchanted with the mission field and churches, and he stays home now with his family, has home church. I know an independent Baptist preacher who, in just a couple years ago, quit the local church, stays home with his family, has home church, and they've become isolationists more than separationists. It's like the Lord would have us to be. But I believe today in organized religion. I believe a believer in Christ should not only be spiritual, but should also be religious. And there's a difference between being spiritual and being religious. James said in James chapter 1, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before the Father, before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fathers and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I want you to notice religion is a Bible word. I'm not going to let the world take it away from me. It's a Bible word. And we need to be both spiritual. That's you and I and our individual relationship with Christ. But we also need to be religious in an organized way, working together, following the Lord's blueprint in the institution of the local New Testament church. Keep in mind, Christ started the church. He said, I will build my church. And if we should reject the institution of the church, we are rejecting an institution of Christ. As I've studied the local church and the regional church in the New Testament, there are 13 different local churches in the New Testament, and almost every one of them is messed up. And yet not one time do the writers, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, tell anyone to quit going. But he rather says, fix it. Fix it. Even to the Laodicean church, maybe the worst of them all, and perhaps the age in which we're living in. If you take Revelations 2 and 3 as a model of perhaps the seven different stages through the church age, the Laodicean church would be the seventh stage, perhaps the last one just before the rapture. I hold to that position. I don't know if you do or not. But the Laodicean church is the worst of the seven described. And to that worst one, the Lord said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Notice what he said to the Laodicean church, as many as I love. He loves the church right to the end, even the Laodicean church. Even the most messed up church where he can't say one good thing about it, he loves the church right up to the rapture. And he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, therefore. He doesn't say quit. He doesn't say give up. I know I'm preaching to the choir here today because you're here. But he doesn't say quit and give up. He says be zealous, right? I mean, to the last church, the last opportunity we have, he still says to us, be zealous. Be zealous. Be zealous. Don't quit. Don't give up. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That gives me hope. That gives me hope that right to the end, God can find a zealous people who can repent and who can get right with the Lord. And maybe not all churches want to, but some can. I believe in organized religion. One of the things that helped strengthen my beliefs this week was observing Daily Vacation Bible School. That was organized. The prayer support of that effort was organized. There were people praying for a week prior to Daily Vacation Bible School, around the clock, 24 hours a day for 7 consecutive days. There were people praying around the clock during Daily Vacation Bible School, and we'll be praying around the clock this week afterwards about the results. Now, only the good Lord knows the results, because only the Lord can see people's hearts. But some of you were here, and we disseminated prayer lists with specific prayer requests, and as I went down through them, almost every single one of them was answered in amazing ways. The good Lord blessed us. We had about 120 children average every single night for the 4 days. That's just kids between the ages of 4 and 12 who registered. 178 different kids, it says here in the bulletin report. Organization. Adult and teen volunteers. 64 adults and teens from the church worked together and had a good reward for their labor. That's organized religion. I believe in it. What if they had all decided somewhere along the line, I don't believe in organized religion anymore? And I know there's a lot of things that are discouraging people today from churches. I understand that. And there's been a lot of hypocrisy. There's hypocrites in our church. There's hypocrites in George's church. There's hypocrites in every church that you ever go to. They just flock to our churches. And we're like magnets to them. I don't know why. Someone once said, the gospel light sure attracts a lot of strange bugs. And man, isn't that the truth? You get all kinds of strange people and their brother come up to the gospel preaching church. There's hypocrites in every church. You got to go around them. You know what? Every one of us has got to go around them and keep walking on for the Lord. You got to look above them. Keep your eyes on the Lord. The Lord's never been a hypocrite. The Lord will never let you down. The Lord will never disappoint you. You keep your eyes on the Lord. People will. Pastors will. But the Lord won't. And I want to encourage you to get in the business. You know, if there's ever a time when the church should be spiritual and the church should be organized, it's today. Why? There's almost 7 billion people on earth. And it takes organization to reach them. It takes organization to reach the world. If you were out there and you were one of those that said, I don't believe in organized religion, okay, great, I respect your convictions. How about reaching the world with the gospel? Oh, yeah, I believe that. So this fellow's out there all alone and he starts to share the gospel with people. And pretty soon, through the power of the gospel, he leads a soul to Christ. Praise the Lord. Then he leads two. Then he leads three. Then he leads five to Christ, 10 to Christ. Then he's got 20 converts that he's led to Christ. Then he's got 30 converts that he's all by himself without the church. But then he keeps reading the book. And now he's supposed to disciple all of them. What should he do? Well, you can go to every one of the 30 homes every week and try and teach them the Bible and try and disciple them and try to get them through some courses or whatever to teach them how to pray and so on and so forth. But eventually that guy is going to say, you know, it sure be a whole lot easier if I just got all these people together in one place and taught them the Bible, preached to them, and gave them some principles to live by. And he would believe in organized religion in a hurry. You know why? Because it's God's plan. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because there's so much hypocrisy among clergymen today. And, you know, we live in a country where 4,000 churches are closing down every year. 800 of those are Baptist churches. The Baptist church in Olean closed down recently. The Baptist church on Richardson Road down here in Gowanda closed down recently. The Baptist church in Gowanda is just about closed down over there. The Baptist church in Evans over here has been closed down for 2 years. It's epidemic. The church is being closed down, unable to fill the pulpits with God-called men. In a time when the population is exploding, and churches can provide a platform for an organized way of reaching souls for Jesus Christ, reaching children for Jesus Christ. We had Catholic children come into the church this week. We had Protestant children come into the church this week. We had a boy come into the church this week that had never been to any type of a church in his entire life. We had community children come into the church this week. We had children up and down my road on Grove Street come into the church this week. And you know, we go back to them, and they're not allowed to come back because they have their own church. But in an organized way, it was organized religion It was organized religion that helped reach these children. A lot of fatherless children in the area. There needs to be an organized group of believers who will go forth and try to reach them with the gospel, with some tool like Vacation Bible School. There's a lot of widows in the area. Pure religion is to visit the widows, not to stay home and be an isolated individual, but to visit the widows and their affliction. And to, we have an organized benevolence fund in our church that can help them, and a seniors ministry and a seniors dinner. A lot more can be done in evangelism in an organized way. Knocking on doors, passing out tracts, going to the Dunkirk Fair in 2 weeks, going to the Hamburg Fair, going to the Eden Corn Festival, printing messages in the Penny Saver, training people to win others to Christ. We had a couple of our ladies that go out door to door in the Eden area, and they were taking out flyers and information about the church this week. They had a Daily Vacation Bible School flyer with them, and they gave it to a lady or family that just happened to be parked there in a car or something. I don't remember the whole story. One of the girls came Tuesday night to Daily Vacation Bible School. I watched her. I was standing in the back. When the invitation was coming for came for children to come forward to, who would like to receive Christ as their Savior, she was the first one down the aisle. She came back the next night with 4 kids from the neighborhood. What if we said we don't believe in organized religion? God uses it. I don't know if they'll ever come back. There's such an attack on the church today. I was talking to one man this week. He says, our church doesn't have Bible schools anymore. We don't have junior churches anymore. We don't have anything anymore. And he says, I said, is there anything good with your church? He said, yeah, there's some good things still going on in our church. I said, is there any other church in the area that you can unite with? He said, no. I said, then stay where you're at. Don't quit. If your church is just doing a few good things, stay there. Jesus said to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3 and verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. He said in verse number 4, for thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. He said to the church at Sardis, you got a few names there. You got a couple people in church that haven't defiled their garments. They love the Lord. He said, you got a few things. They're ready to die, but you got a few things going on. Strengthen those things that are ready to die. Don't quit. Do you understand, as messed up as the church we're looking at here in 1 Corinthians 14, as messed up as this church was, and it was messed up, people were suing each other in the church. People were fornicating with each other in the church. People were fighting over who their favorite preacher was in the church, Paul or Peter or Apollos, and they were carnal, they were babies. It was a messed up church. There's 13 horrific faults exposed in the book of 1 Corinthians, but not one time did the Holy Spirit inspire Paul to tell anybody to quit the church. Not once. He never said, your church is no good, you might as well just leave and stay home. He said, get it right. And you read the book of 2 Corinthians, and in my opinion, it's the most spiritual book in the New Testament. Why? Because a messed up church can get right. Messed up churches can have revivals. Churches that are ready to die can have revivals. I told the brother, I said, I would rather be working for God when Jesus comes in a tiny little church than hiding in some big church and not doing something, anything. Brethren, maybe the churches aren't very good today. But when our Lord comes, I want to be found in one. And I want our Lord to say to me, and I want our Lord to say to you, I know your church wasn't very good, but you were faithful to the end. I appreciate that. I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So many are quitting today. Pastors are quitting. Churches are closing down. There's a lot of teens in our area that need to be reached, and with organized religion, by activities and tri-state fellowships and Sunday schools and fairs and festivals and opportunities in the church, we can reach the teens. We've got some teens in this church who are so on fire for God, I just want to be around them. Organized religion is Pastor Seth taking 18 of those teens up to the Taste of Buffalo last weekend and seeing them pass out 7,000 gospel tracts to people, including the mayor of Buffalo. That just about ended our efforts there. No calls yet. Organized religion helps our missionaries. In the last 15 years, this little country church has given over $1 million to missions because of our organized effort, encouraging everybody to give something every week to missions. We have about 30% of our church right now involved in Faith Promise missions giving. Can you imagine if we had 100%? We could maybe give $3 million in the next 15 years. And the world just keeps growing in numbers. We've got a dear missionary coming tonight, going to the Ivory Coast. Very dangerous country, but he's willing to go. And there needs to be churches back in the States willing to support him in prayer, fasting, financially. These missionaries go and we get some of the most amazing reports back from them. Of souls that have been saved and churches that have been planted and men that have been called and women who surrendered their lives to the Lord. And right now we're supporting about 80 different missionaries around the world in every time zone, but we could do so much more. There's a lot of hurting people, lonely people, and organized religion can, through the care ministry, help them in their hurts. There's a lot of singles in this area, and organized religion can go out to reach these singles and say, hey, there is a church in town where you're not looked at like you're strange, but rather that you have been given an opportunity to serve the Lord without distraction. And we can be a welcoming church, a church with singles activities and single Sundays and minister to them. But what would we do for them if we didn't have a church? A lot of musical and singing talent can be organized in a church that can be a blessing to other people, not just in services, but in nursing homes. Did you ever go and sing in nursing homes? Just watch the tears flow down the eyes of those lonely people as they remember the old hymns, the faith, and very few people ever come to see him. And we go to the nursing homes around here. Why? Because we're organized. I believe in organized religion. There's a lot of addicted people around here. There's a few people in our church who are seriously considering starting a Reformers Unanimous chapter here to help the functionally addicted. We can't help the dysfunctionally addicted unless God helps them, but some of the functionally addicted people, we can get them in. They're holding down jobs and everything. They just got some addictions. That's going to take a lot of organization. I don't believe the way to reach the world today is to quit, but to collectively become more spiritual and more organized. And those of you that are from out of town, to find a church in your area and go to your churches that you're in right now and stay there, no matter how bad they may seem to you, or how discouraging it might be sometimes when we sometimes go week after week and it doesn't seem like anything's happening. You have got to keep that church open. There's got to be a church there, because a month from now, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, some seeker's going to walk in, and if the doors are closed, that might be their last hope. Be zealous, Jesus said. He didn't say quit. He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. The church is a great place to attach your talent to, your gift to, and incorporate, qualify to use that talent and gift and incorporate it into some ministry? Let me just give you an example. I'm almost done. We have senior citizens around here. Currently, we don't have anybody. We used to, but they've moved. We don't have anybody heading up the senior citizens ministry. I just think that's a gold mine around here. We're having dinners for them every month, and about 20 seniors come out, and that's nice. But there's an opportunity right in front of somebody to be called by God to get involved in that, who could go out and visit these people in their homes, like the Bible says, to visit the widows, their affliction, and to head up that ministry. And I wouldn't doubt if that ministry doubled in no time, tripled in no time. And these seniors kind of stick together. Their word gets out, you know, and gets around. And pretty soon they know there's a church that loves them, cares about them. We need some senior citizens ministers. We'll take that thing and run with it. I like tranquility. I like serenity. But never confuse tranquility and serenity with spirituality. A lot of people do that. That's why they've quit church. They just don't want to put up with the problems anymore, the gossip anymore, the, you know, being ignored every time I come to church. Nobody ever says hi to me, and I got my little feelings hurt. Well, the best way to quit having your little feelings hurt is quit having little feelings. That's the best way. Just grow up. And if nobody cares about you when you come, no one says hi to you, then start a movement. And you be the one that cares for other people. You be the one that loves others. You show yourself friendly. Pretty soon you'll have friends. But there are so many opportunities just dangling in front of us in this day and age, in this hurting world, to minister. And I want to encourage you, don't quit. Don't give up. Understand the church isn't perfect. And you know, I love tranquility so much and serenity so much. I hear people say, oh, I can be closer to God in the woods or closer to God out on the lake than I can. No, you can't. You are confusing tranquility and serenity with spirituality. Look, the unbelievers in mass head for the lakes and head for the woods every weekend to find some tranquility and serenity. They're not even saved. The most spiritual guy might be the guy on the bus going nuts with 50 kids, but he's trying to love them with the love of the Lord. If you ask Jesus, which would you prefer, a bunch of us out on the lake, a bunch of us out in the woods, enjoying nature and praising God for the birds? Listen, we can praise God forever in heaven, and don't take me wrong. I'm all for praising God. But we only got a little bit of time left to work. Very little bit of time. And it's running out. And I would rather have the headaches of vacation Bible schools and buses and seniors ministries and prison ministries and nursing home ministries and junior churches and so on and so forth. I think if you ask the Lord, which would you prefer, which is the most spiritual, I think he'd say the one that's involved and bearing the burdens and the hardships and the broken hearts and getting home late, getting out on the streets and being afflicted sometimes for the gospel and being sworn at sometimes. Don't confuse the two. I have this pasted in my Bible, and I'll close with this. It says, I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be. A church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. A church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. A church whose deacons always deek, and none is proud and all are meek. Where gossips never peddle lies, or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind, and all to others' faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them is known to me. But still we'll work and pray and plan to make our church the best we can. I want to encourage everyone this morning to resolve to stay in the local church for the rest of your life. Jesus believes in organized religion. He started it. I know a lot of it's bad in the world, but it's still God's will. You can't find a bad church in the Bible that the Lord ever said to anyone, quit. I understand. He always said, stay and get it right. A room of quiet, a temple of peace, a home of faith where doubtings cease, a house of comfort where hope is given, a source of strength to help us to heaven. Place of worship, a place to pray. I found all this in my church today. Thank God for the church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray you'd bless our invitation. Lord, I don't know. I know I'm probably preaching to the choir, but maybe somebody might listen on the internet. Maybe somebody needed this morning here. I don't know, who's just about ready to give up. And Lord, we are sinners. We are ugly people. The closer we get to each other, the more we see about each other faults and weaknesses. But Lord, we've seen this week what can happen when 64 adults and teens humbly work together. They were humble, Lord, this week. There wasn't fighting or contentions. It was hot. It was sticky. Some of the kids were bad, but Lord, you worked. You saved a bunch of their souls that would have never been saved maybe any other way. Someday in heaven, when their testimony is given, they'll point back to this week. Because some didn't quit. Because some are still trying. Lord, help us to love your church. Maybe there's somebody here without a church. I pray they could find one somewhere. And no matter what the condition, be faithful to it. Maybe someone's starting to slip away from their church or this church, and just starting to back out, and they just say, I don't want to put up with it anymore. Lord, revive them. Give them that extra grace. I'm glad you put up with us. I'm glad you went all the way to the cross for us. Lord, help us to go all the way to our cross for someone else that they might be saved. Just dying to ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for those going to camp this week. It's going to be long and hard. But about 60 of our boys and girls from church are going. And we want to pray you'd profoundly affect their lives. Thank you for that organized camp and those who have the vision for it. Lord, where there's no vision, the people perish. God, help us. Help us to have a vision to plant churches, the chapel and others, when in a day and age when so many are closing. I just bless our invitation, our dismissal, we pray in Jesus' name.